are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, January 9th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, The Nation magazine's Ari Berman, the beginning of Senate confirmation hearings for Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, be our Attorney General tomorrow. Also on the program, it's Trump's dump of a cabinet hearings week. Dems gear up to fight up to 8 nominees, including Betsy DeVos. Meanwhile, the Office of Government Ethics are saying, slow down. It's unprecedented not to have ethics reports on these nominees. Mitch McConnell no longer pretending he cares about ethics. Meanwhile, Monica Crowley, Trump's national security advisor pick, accused of plagiarism.
Again.
And Reince Priebus says Trump won't meddle with Medicare and Social Security. For whatever that's worth. Meanwhile, the Senate moves supposedly to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And good news in New York State, Indian Point to close. Not soon enough, but soon-ish. Andrew Cuomo's Operation Hoodwink continues. Announces the, aspirational voting reforms in New York, as if he had noticed over the past 7 years. And the FBI arrests a Volkswagen executive on that emissions scandal.
Well, I'd apologized by doing this.
I think the guy's name is Schmidt. I do think he was just...
Just go to the stereotype impersonation immediately. You already raked me over the coals. Maybe bad word choice for a German to say.
And lastly, Bibi Netanyahu involved in another scandal, which may threaten his prime ministership. All that and more on today's program. Folks, I'm sorry. My voice is a little suffering. Saul's sick. And he woke up like 5 times in the middle of the night spouting some sort of gibberish. I had no idea what he was talking about. I don't know if he's having night terrors or what. He's just like talking like, there's a big guy. And
really?
I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
He's That's just, not good.
And then eventually he just says, forget it.
Sounds like you have a really compassionate response, Sam.
I'm like, what are you talking
dude,
about?
There isn't any big guy. What are you talking about? Me? I'm your father, you moron. And
Does
he's
he
just
have
like,
an ear
he's
infection?
Like, no, I'm actually scared of monsters, you insensitive prick. Now, maybe you can make yourself useful and get me some friggin' cheese and crackers. You're like, fine, Saul, I'll do that. I'll get no sleep and get you more cheese and crackers. And he goes, yeah, thanks a lot, Dad.
Well, I mean, it's those type of
just
exchanges.
Caught the essence of your relationship.
It's those it's those type of exchanges that gets his teachers to say, Saul's very developed verbally. But he's also tremendously sarcastic for a 3.5-4-year-old.
It's not an ear infection?
No. Fever. Why? You know what I'm talking about? What's going on?
It just seems like he is prone to ear infection.
He is prone to ear infection, but this was just a regular cold.
Poor Saul.
Yeah, poor Saul. What about poor Sam? I'm exhausted.
You say this stuff
he gets
a
to stay home from school
exhausted.
Today. He gets to stay home from school today. I don't.
Oh, lucky him. He still has a fever.
We'll get to the whole Meryl Streep thing. I mean, that's a nice sideshow. We'll play it in the fun half. I mean, good for her. I appreciate it when celebrities use their platforms for something other than self-enrichment.
It was a total low-class move.
Meghan McCain tweeted out, like, this is exactly, this Meryl Streep speech is exactly why Trump won.
She's such an idiot, and everybody should look up. There was a great moment with her and Paul Begala on Bill Maher's show several years ago, which I rewatch every time she gets in the news.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't, if people are just not that bright or well-informed, that's all well and good. But to make that argument, and I tweeted back, my favorite Meryl Streep speech was the one where she insisted that Sarah Palin be nominated as the backup president. I mean, if you don't see a straight line between John McCain elevating a completely unprepared, moronic, I don't even know how to describe her. I mean, Donald Trump prototype in Sarah Palin to the vice presidency, and Donald Trump winning in 2016, then you're deluding yourself. It's obvious. It's obvious. Everything that Sarah Palin represented, her mantle was picked up by Donald Trump when he became the birther in chief. So I don't know. That's there's a little bit of delusion there and denial. Well, you know, denial is healthy. Maybe she could read a little more. In fact, I got the best way for her to read. We recently got back from Michigan because of the holidays. I didn't have my normal stack of magazines with me that I used to use when I would get on airplanes. Why? Because I have Texture on my phone and on my iPad. What's Texture? It's an app that gives you unlimited access to 200-plus magazines. So I get to read my Family Handyman. I get to read Wired. I get to read The New Yorker. I get to read, is Harper's on there? I can't remember now. Rolling Stone, if I want to pick up a couple articles. There's a ton of magazines on there. And it's not just you get the magazines. So you bundle this, right? You don't have to pay for it all a la carte with these different magazines. They made it easy to find and enjoy articles that you want to read. They give you daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and more. Texture is searchable. You can mark what you like, check out back issues, view bonus video content. They even curate articles and magazines just for you or whoever you're giving Texture to this year. Why on earth would you subscribe to a couple magazines when you could have all the best ones on your smartphone or tablet all the time for way less? Right now, Texture is offering my listeners a 14-day free trial when you go to texture.com/majority. That's 14 days to try Texture for free. When you go to texture.com/majority, texture.com/majority. All right, I want to play this clip of, this is a CNN report on Jeff Sessions. Is this the one, the second one I gave you, Matt? Okay. Look, there's obviously a lot of things that Jeff Sessions, as Attorney General, is going to have to do. But, I mean, aside from, you know, ignoring all of the legal and ethical problems with the Trump administration.
That will take some not doing.
Right. And I think, look, as a guy, one of the first guys to come out and endorse Trump, I think he's definitely going to be up to that task. But the other important thing, and people are starting to pay attention to this a little bit more, when Republicans get in office, some of the first things they do is not like rush out and find like, we're finally going to get to implement this policy that we have all these policy experts that's going to help improve the country. It's always they make sure that they line up a lot of policies and personnel to ensure that they win future elections. And so at a time where you have the Supreme Court having gut the Voting Rights Act, and some judges across the country, federal judges, rolling back some of the laws passed in the wake of that Voting Rights Act gutting, where you had a lot of these pre-clearance states being able to impose voting restrictions, Jeff Sessions comes in there, and he is an expert not only in ignoring laws that suppress the vote, but in targeting people who are trying to make it easier for people to vote. In his case, his specialty has been targeting African-American people who are trying to vote.
I hate that term so much, African-American.
Here is Jeff Sessions getting really indignant during his hearings in 1986, where he was prevented from becoming a federal judge. And I believe it was a Republican Senate under President Ronald Reagan. And they still were like, yeah.
Wow, Jeff, you really have set them off, haven't you?
Should this guy
a little bit of subtlety in your game.
Exactly. Here is that clip now.
The nomination of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III has become embroiled in controversy over his alleged racial remarks and his prosecution of three blacks in an Alabama voting fraud case. In the fourth Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on his nomination, Sessions angrily fought back the allegations and defended his record.
I am not a racist. I am not insensitive to blacks. I have supported civil rights activity in my state. I have done my job with integrity, equality, and fairness for all.
Among committee members, tempers flew over the alleged racial statements and over the need to even continue the hearings.
It would be an absurd situation. The last thing that would happen, it would be like spitting in someone's face. Of course, it's a terrible allegation, but it's simply untrue.
We're going to have to take the only step which is appropriate to us, and that's object to the committee's continued hearing. We're not going to get whipsawed.
And in a heated exchange with Democrat Joseph Biden, Sessions denied calling the National Council of Churches and the NAACP un-American.
My opinion is they have not. They may have taken positions that I consider to be adverse to the security interests of the United States.
Does that make them un-American?
No, sir, it does not.
No, does that make the positions un-American?
No.
Sessions also refuted other key statements he is alleged to have made, including that he thought Ku Klux Klan members were okay until he learned some were marijuana smokers.
This assertion is ludicrous. I detest the Klan.
And he denied that he called a black attorney, Thomas Figures, boy.
I state categorically that I have never called Mr. Figures boy.
The Judiciary Committee will...
It's impossible for me to imagine him saying that.
I hate the Klan, and I love that sweet Mary Jane. You ever toke up and ask yourself, is what we're doing now dreaming? And when we is dreaming, it's real life.
It's possible.
Put your hand in my pipe, boy.
Excuse me. It's possible. I said, boy, am I high? I may have said, boy, I'm high, but I was just saying.
Literally, like
General
my friend.
General, boy, like everybody, wake up, I'm high.
Now, it may threaten the national security of the United States if the Negroid is in the voting booth, but that don't mean they aren't the American. Wait, did I just say that out loud? Well, there goes the heron.
Whoopsie-doopsie.
When they try to rise above their proper station in life.
The story is more extreme than we have, than we've heard. And Ari Berman is going to join us in just a moment to talk about that. But in the meantime, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates?
Are you hiring?
Are you hiring? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates.
I'm going to do the entire show like Jeff Sessions. Honestly, we've talked about ZipRecruiter in the past, and we've got nothing but good feedback. It already has 9 million resumes you can search through in their database. You can add multiple people to your account. So if you have other people looking at potential job candidates, they can check them out. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. This is the two worst parts about it are posting the job and then how you look at the candidates who come back in. And ZipRecruiter is not only like a search engine for finding and posting jobs, it gives you a great mechanism in which to organize the candidates. You don't have to juggle emails or calls to your office. You quickly screen the candidates. You rate them. You hire the right person fast. That system is I've tried to jerry-rig a system like that in the past. Not easy. It's a mess, frankly.
Total mess.
It was a mess.
Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. This couldn't be more apropos. I walked to work again today. Yeah, no, it was freezing. But it's I got one of those like baklavas or whatever those are. Baklakas, whatever it is.
The stuff that Russian gangsters use.
A balaclava.
Balaclava.
No, I like that. I got what it was baklavas. And it makes me all warm.
Baklava's a pastry.
No, I rub myself with pastry.
I get myself sweet Middle Eastern sweets all over my face. And then I'm warm.
It's freezing out. It's freezing. And this is so apropos. I mean, imagine the idea of going to a white sandy beach of the Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Have you ever been to Antigua?
No, I haven't been to Antigua.
I've heard very good things.
I've heard nothing but good things.
At just $149 per person per night, this amazing all-inclusive adults-only getaway comes at an even more amazing price. It's adults-only. That means 16 and older you have to be. So you can't take. So in other words, I'd have to leave all my kids at home and my entire family. No, it's not. It's not. The idea is that I think they don't want little kids there. Plus, you get a $250 resort credit, which you can use for like sailing trips or dining or safari tours, spa services, gifts. Oh my God! Just go to pineapplebeachclub.com and make your reservation today. The resort apparently encompasses 30 acres of tropical. They should send me down there to get like a personal. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I think we could use actually a younger person's perspective.
30 acres of tropical foliage and panoramic vistas. It's all inclusive. Wow. Your meals, snacks, beverages, including alcohol, water sports, daily entertainment, even taxes and gratuity are all covered. Holy cow. That's quite a deal. So leave this weather behind. Go take the vacation you deserve. Somebody send me on this. Don't wait. Offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeach.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive stay. For $149 a night per person, you can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more. And you'll get a $250 resort credit. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. You can see the website for complete details. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ari Berman.
Go.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone. It is always a pleasure to welcome back to this program Nation Magazine writer, author of the best-selling Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America, Ari Berman. Ari?
Hey, Sam. The pleasure is always mine.
I don't know if I congratulating you on being nominated for the National Book Critics Circle Award for General Nonfiction for
Thank
Give
you.
Us the Ballot.
Yeah, that was last year, but got to cling to whatever we can these days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's only this year's only a week old or so.
Well, everyone was like, screw 2016. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, 2017 is going to be a million times worse. So let's get it over with as soon as possible.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's. I mean, you know, you wrote about the struggle to get voting rights, particularly for African Americans, you've been covering the Supreme Court gutting of the Voting Rights Act and the subsequent, opportunism of those states, particularly ones who were sort of out from under a preclearance to roll back the access to the ballot. And can you imagine? I mean, obviously, the Attorney General does a lot of different things, but can you imagine a pick that would be more hostile to voting rights than Jeff Sessions?
I Honestly, can imagine one or two, but not many.
I mean, I say this because, like, you know, one of the things I think about this cabinet, when you guys got guys like Scott Pruitt and Betsy DeVos, who are nominated for their departments, they seem to be put in there because of their particular expertise at destroying the very essence of their agency. And
whoever is most opposed to the mission of the department is the one who's chosen as the nominee.
And who have the most experience at opposing the mission of that department.
So I think Sessions is going to be a complete disaster as Attorney General in so many different areas. I think he's going to be the most dangerous Attorney General in modern American history, certainly the most hostile to voting rights, the most sympathetic to the Confederacy, the person with the longest record of opposition to civil rights in modern American history. I mean, in my book, I looked at attorney generals for Nixon and Reagan and George W. Bush, and they did a lot of bad stuff. But nobody who was chosen was as extreme as Jeff Sessions. And the amazing thing about Sessions is he was blocked as a federal judge in 1986, basically because he had done both racist things, like prosecuting civil rights activists for voter fraud, and said a lot of racist things. I mean, he said the NAACP and ACLU were communist and un-American. He called a black prosecutor boy. He said the Voting Rights Act was intrusive legislation. So you'd think if you were blocked as a federal judge in 1986 because you were too racist, you would try to be less racist in the future. But he's done the opposite. Whether he was Attorney General of Alabama or as a senator for the last 20 years, he has consistently, on basically every single issue, been on the wrong side of civil rights. And now he's going to be the most powerful person, the most powerful law enforcement official in the government, one of the most powerful cabinet members. Trump doesn't know anything about the law, so he's going to defer to Sessions almost completely. It's not like going to be where Obama's a constitutional law professor and has some input here. So this is going to be, a real test of the rule of law in this country. I think a lot of people think that our democratic institutions can withstand this. But I'm not so sure. I think when you put enough people in the administration who just have a complete contempt for the mission of their office, you start looking at a serious constitutional crisis.
All right. Well, let's back up, because your piece on Sessions, when you start to hear the intensity of his just talk about the story of Turner and Hoag, and that prosecution.
So Sessions has prosecuted three civil rights activists who had been very active in the 1960s, the 1970s, and the 1980s. One of them, Albert Turner Jr., was basically Martin Luther King's right-hand man in Alabama. He was from Perry County, which is next to Selma. He marched on Bloody Sunday in Selma behind John Lewis. And they had built, both Albert Turner, his wife, and another person who was prosecuted, Spencer Hogue, had built a really formidable organization of black political power in the Alabama Black Belt, a place where African Americans had been disenfranchised for many, many years. And one of the things they had done in recent elections was to help elderly and sometimes illiterate black voters who were born during Jim Crow cast absentee ballots. That was something that was very standard throughout Alabama that was used by many white politicians. And this came to the attention of Jeff Sessions, and Sessions prosecuted them for voter fraud. And it was extremely controversial because, as I mentioned earlier, they hadn't done anything wrong. White officials hadn't been prosecuted for the same thing. But basically, this was a very, very high-profile trial in the 1980s. He lost the case. The defendants were acquitted within 3 hours, so it wasn't a very strong case to begin with. And this was a case that really led to Sessions being blocked as a federal judge in 1986. And as I mentioned, he really has not changed his position on this stuff at all. He, for example, cheered the gutting of the Voting Rights Act. I just read a piece in the New York Times Magazine where Sessions, a Trump official, said that Sessions would do it all over again if he had to prosecute them, which is just really astounding. I mean, he hasn't learned anything from the mistakes that he's made, and he's just really, really worried. Like, this was when he was just a U.S. attorney in Mobile, Alabama. Now he's going to be attorney general, and what's he going to do? And I think that's the really scary part here.
And so what are there specific questions that you think should be asked of Sessions in this sort of, I guess, area of Voting Rights Act, of voting rights?
Well, I think, you know, he just really needs to be pressed on things, because when the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, he said that no one is being discriminated against based on the color of their skin in places like Alabama and North Carolina and Georgia. And that's just simply factually not true. We have a long court record in places like North Carolina, where the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said that black voters were targeted with, quote, almost surgical precision. We have in Alabama, his home state, the fact that they tried to close 31 DMVs after passing a voter ID law in majority black counties. So places all
coincidence. That's a coincidence. All right.
I mean, the Alabama Department of Transportation just settled with the Justice Department on this and reopened the hours because they found that this was discriminatory. I really think that he needs to be pressed on this stuff. I mean, he did award last year the Congressional Gold Medal to the Selma marchers, which was completely symbolic. But he gave an interesting speech where he said that, you know, I was wrong when it came to civil rights back in the 1960s. I didn't do enough. So I think he needs to be pressed and said, okay, well, if you admit that you were on the wrong side of civil rights back then, and you took the effort at least to give the Selma marchers a gold medal, why aren't you restoring the Voting Rights Act that he nearly died for? Why are you supporting efforts to make it harder to vote that the civil rights community unanimously opposes? It can't just be about symbolism here. And I think, you know, he has to be pressed on what he would do in these voting rights cases. There's a lot of cases right now that the Obama administration has filed against Texas, against North Carolina, that are going before the Supreme Court. Is Sessions going to switch sides in these cases? Is he going to side with Texas and North Carolina instead of the previous positions of the Justice Department? So there's a lot to look at here. And I'm very, very, very concerned about his record.
I've noticed that apparently he has refused to, or has offered the committee an extremely skimpy presentation of what they've asked for in terms of like his media appearances over the past decade or so. And I got to imagine part of that is because he doesn't want to highlight the fact that he's been so excited about the rollback of voting rights.
Well, I mean, it seems like basically every single nominee has had inadequate documentation. I mean, it's just the whole confirmation process is just so astounding. I mean, it's unbelievable how this has quickly become the new normal, that you can have six nominations at the same time this week, that they can file completely incomplete documentation, that, you know, the ethics agencies are basically saying there's tons of stuff missing. I mean, this has never happened before. And this is happening with a president who's the most unqualified president ever in American history. So I don't know how we can tolerate this. I mean, so many things are being redefined in terms of what is considered okay. But it's just really disturbing, and it's particularly disturbing for someone who's going to be the top law enforcement official in the country and is supposed to police all of this. And it's hard to imagine, you know, him being impartial on any of these issues.
Are there other areas that you are particularly concerned about, Jeff Sessions? You know, I mean, it does seem like his portfolio has really been at least marked by a genuine hostility to just coincidentally disallowing black people from voting or preventing them from voting. I mean, I'm sure he's just doing it from a partisan perspective.
Well, I mean, on a similar issue that's related, I'm very concerned about his positions on criminal justice issues. And I just wrote a piece about this at The Nation, and I talked to Brian Stevenson, the great civil rights lawyer in Alabama, who's been in there for 25 years and knows Jeff Sessions very well. And basically, Stevenson pointed out all sorts of disturbing things about Sessions. For example, when Alabama brought back chain gangs in 1995, Sessions said it was perfectly proper. He's repeatedly defended prosecutors in death row cases where black men were sentenced to death by all white juries because African Americans were kicked off the juries by prosecutors. There's been horrible abuses in Alabama prisons that Sessions has said nothing about. The Alabama Constitution still authorizes segregated schools and poll taxes, and Sessions has said nothing about it. So I think criminal justice has really been an area where the Obama administration has done a lot of good work, whether it's, you know, trying to make sentencing more fair or rolling back private prisons, trying to do those sort of things, agreements between police departments in places like Ferguson and Baltimore that have been lauded by a lot of people. I mean, Sessions can roll all of this back. And this is something that the Attorney General can very easily do. You know, he can rip up police agreements in Ferguson. He can rip up fairer drug sentencing. He can do a lot of things in this area. And he's been just as bad on criminal justice as he has been on voting. And so this is another area that I'm really, really concerned about him. And I hope he gets some questions asked. And it's particularly noteworthy because even some Republicans have been moving on criminal justice reform.
Right.
But Sessions hasn't. Like, Sessions blocked a bill by Chuck Grassley and Paul Ryan that would have decreased nonviolent sentences. So, I mean, he's to the right of the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman and the Speaker of the House on this issue. So I think even some Republicans should be asking him about this.
And I wonder on immigration, too, right? I mean,
I didn't even think about immigration.
He's going to be incredibly hostile. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how this would work, but I imagine the Office of Legal Counsel under the Department of Justice is going to start issuing, like, this is how you can roll back things like DAPA and DACA. I mean, a whole host of laws. And I mean, it just...
So I haven't really followed immigration that closely, but I do know that Sessions has basically been the worst person in the Senate on immigration for years. I mean, everyone knows he's the go-to guy on this issue. And, you know, now he's Attorney General. And so there's a lot he can do. I mean, those 5 million Dreamers gave their information to the federal government so that they could be protected. And that information could now be used to deport them. So, I mean, this is very, very, very serious. This is not theoretical. I mean, people could be deported. Some people could lose their livelihoods. Families could be ripped apart by positions that he could take. And so this is really, really serious. I mean, we're talking about life and death issues here with him as Attorney General. And I just think, like, his nomination and, you know, one or two others are so important that we really can't be distracted. And I think it looks like the Senate's going to confirm him. We've already had conservative Democrats like Joe Manchin say they're going to vote for him, which I think is crazy, but they've already said it. It's very unlikely the Senate's going to block another senator. But I think, you know, if he gets in there, you know, all we can do is try to hold his feet to the fire. And if they do these crazy things, make the Trump administration pay a political price for doing them.
What are the other, I mean, we've got five other hearings, I think, happening on Wednesday, maybe more. What positions are you looking at that are most problematic?
Well, I think Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State is just insanely problematic. I mean, here you have a guy who was CEO of ExxonMobil, which just a billion conflicts of interest in that alone, but obviously is also very close to Vladimir Putin, given what we know about Russian hacking. That is really, really concerning. He's never been a diplomat before, and now he's working for Trump, who doesn't know anything about foreign policy. So it's not like they're putting Condoleezza Rice or someone like that back either. They're putting someone who's totally unqualified, has a million conflicts of interest, and is best friends with someone who just hacked our election to get Donald Trump elected. So, I mean, I think, you know, he is extremely concerning. I mean, basically, if Rex Tillerson is the Trump administration's face for America abroad and Jeff Sessions is in charge of the rule of law at home, we're in a lot of trouble. And so those two are the ones that I'm kind of focused on more. But everything is problematic. I mean, Scott Pruitt for EPA, the guy they chose for labor secretary.
Right.
So many problematic positions. I mean, it's gotten to the point where the nominee for Secretary of Defense, Mattis, who's nicknamed Mad Dog, is considered the most sane person that Trump nominated. So when the guy who's nicknamed Mad Dog is the most sane person you nominated, you know there's a problem.
How are you going to watch all this on Wednesday?
Well, I'm not going to watch all of it. I mean, I'm not. I'm going to.
I'm just curious how people.
Here. Yeah.
I mean, how people are approaching. I mean, obviously, I think for you, it's. But Tillerson is having his hearing. I mean,
same time. I mean, and Trump's having a press conference at 11 a.m. and Obama's giving a speech tomorrow about his record as president. So, I mean, it's all happening at once. And I think it's, you know, Sessions alone deserved a week of just all the news coverage being on him because this is so important. And this is just going to be one of many stories that are playing out next week. He probably won't even be, you know, in sort of news media parlance. You know, he's not even going to be the A or the B block. Right. I mean, we're talking about, like, he's not even going to get top billing. And Tillerson might not even get top billing because we have Trump's news conference and all this other stuff happening. And so there should have been more dissent and more outrage, including from the media, that the Trump administration put all of these people in there. What's the rush? Why can't Trump be sworn in and we can have a methodical process here going through all his nominations, considering how long the Senate took to act on people like Loretta Lynch, who everyone knew was qualified, and still it took forever to get hearings and votes on her.
And we should say there's a qualitative difference. I mean, not only obviously because the Sessions thing is a huge, but outside of Sessions, nearly every other person has very scant record of public service. I mean, I guess you could say Pruitt has been out there as an attorney general, but in a state, there's no federal, you know, ethics vetting. None of this is coming. There's no pre-existing vetting of any of these people.
Well, and this is what I was talking about when I'm saying that it's disturbing that all of this stuff is just becoming the new normal. Like, Russia hacked our elections, but it was just the DNC's fault. It didn't matter. Like, we've just kind of decided that this is okay. Or, you know, we just had the first presidential election in 50 years without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act. And we're just like, that was okay. Like, people weren't disenfranchised when, like, obviously they were all across the country. Or the fact that Republicans just blocked a Supreme Court nomination for no reason and refused to even hold a hearing, which has never happened. And then they turn around and they rush nominations for attorney general. I mean, like I said, this all adds up to the point where it's hard to wonder the legitimacy of our institutions of government if they're going to be abused in this fashion. And so I'm just almost at a loss for words, Sam, because, you know, what's the date today? You know, we're 9 days into 2017, and this is already what's happening.
Right.
It's scary to think what's going to happen when these guys actually get power.
Yeah, indeed. Ari Berman, thanks so much for your time today. Folks, if you haven't read the book, I mean, I guess maybe now you'll be able to do a sequel, right? Give us the ballot, the modern struggle for voting rights in America, and maybe in, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, you'll be able to do it again about how...
I'm in a Godfather situation where, you know, I try to get out and I'm just sucked back in.
Ari Berman, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks,
really
Sam. Talk to you later.
That's an amazing image. Like every time I think that we have achieved a modicum, but just some semi-functioning decency in this area, a neo-Confederate is elected as dominated as Attorney General.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's pretty amazing. And there's going to be, you know, Jeff Sessions is going to get some attention because tomorrow he's going to be the only person who's going to be testifying. But on Wednesday, as we've already told you, it's going to be day two of Sessions' hearing. Then on Wednesday, you're also going to have Betsy DeVos. I'm going to talk about her in just a moment.
I think the kid should sell Amway.
It is stunning.
And I mean, Eric Prince's sister, right?
Eric Prince's sister. I mean, you can't be... Yeah. But what is really just amazing to me is that, I mean, she is on record of saying she doesn't believe in the idea of public schools.
Yep.
She believes in public schooling. In other words, money given to parochial schools, but not public schools. And then Elaine Chao will be up for Transportation Secretary. John Kelly for Homeland Security Secretary. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. This is all on Wednesday. On Thursday, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary. Next week, it was scheduled to be Andy Puzder, the Labor Secretary, but apparently he's been punted a little bit. It's crazy. And I think Mike Pompeo for the CIA next week. I'm reading that the Democrats are going to fight eight of them, but I don't even know what that means in this context. Other than they're going to be hostile and try and get things into the record. But if the media doesn't acknowledge it...
And if that's what they're doing, why not do it to all of them, frankly? I mean, just flood the zone.
I guess, but
I mean, I really think...
I don't think they have the ability to flood the zone. Yeah. I don't know that much will get in. I mean, I think... And it's also, frankly, it's also just a question of resources, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
I honestly don't agree with Ari. I mean, I think that in some ways Tillerson is like the less disturbing on a relative scale, given other options and everything else is on the table. Absolutely. That's how bad it is.
I mean, I think there's an argument for that on some level.
There's a very strong argument for it. And Mattis is undoubtedly the least disturbing, and that is his nickname. Yeah.
Apparently he's having, I've read that he is bucking up against the transition team in terms of hiring people below him at the Defense Department.
Right, right.
Which I take as a hopeful sign.
To the extent that he's been on record, he would be more of the sort of, he's actually, as I recall, he said some relatively encouraging things about diplomacy, Iran. So yeah, he's more on that
all end
of the spectrum.
Ari touched on this, and before we go to the fun half, I want to cover this. Ari touched on this thing about the Office of Government Ethics, and Walter Schaub, the director of the Independent Office of Government Ethics, wrote a letter to Senate Democratic leaders on Saturday. Some of Trump's nominees, particularly those with a complex web of financial interests and little background in public service, about 80% of them, I would say, are left with potentially unknown or unresolved ethics issues before their hearings. According to this letter that he sent, this is unprecedented. I am not aware of any occasion in the four decades since the OGE, the Office of Government Ethics, was established, when the Senate held a confirmation hearing before the nominee had completed the ethics review process. Let's go to Ryan Priebus, who was on with Chris Wallace on Sunday. Priebus is now is the chief of staff for President Electoral Trump. And here he is addressing the fact that there doesn't seem to be the documentation you're supposed to submit.
That's all. Ryan, so I just want to pick up on that. We got less than a minute left because the Office of Government Ethics announced this week that it has been unable to complete background ethics checks on a number of Trump's nominees and said it's of great concern that these confirmation hearings are going to go forward before those background checks are.
Now, note the way that he's framing this, right? Like, they just don't have the ability to get their act together, as opposed to it's pretty early in the process as far as these things go, and nobody has sent in any documentation, and you're having all the hearings on one day. But continue.
Nominees and said it's of great concern that these confirmation hearings are going to go forward before those background checks are complete. Senator Schumer says you're trying to jam them through. Given the statement by the Office of Government Ethics, any thought of delaying the confirmation hearings for any of these nominees until the background checks are complete?
No, I mean, they have to get moving. I mean, they have to move faster and they have all the information. These are people that have been highly successful in their lives. They need to move quicker. And the fact is, there's no reason. I mean, it's the first week of January. They have all the details that they need. They have all the information that they need. It's no different from any other new administration coming in. And the American people demand it. Change was voted for, and change we will get.
Reince, thank you.
Oh, thank you. They're so successful that you don't have to worry about ethics.
We don't got time for that. They've been out too much making
stupid
money.
I want to put a flag in something, though, for you. Or I want to flag something. They have all the information they need, right? This is a problem with the Office of Government Ethics. This isn't a problem with the nominees. But moments earlier or simultaneously or across town, and really probably just across 6th Avenue, or maybe in D.C., I guess, Mitch McConnell is on Face the Nation with John Dickerson. And he seems to let it slip that, well, maybe they don't have all the documentation, but they still got to get over it.
Nominees. The Office of Government Ethics has asked the Senate to slow down the confirmation process. The executive director wrote, "I'm not aware of any occasion in the four decades since OGE was established when the Senate held a confirmation hearing before the nominees had completed the ethics review process." Will you slow down the process?
Well, we're still in the process of getting the papers in. I think at least five of the nominees have all of their papers in. You know, what this is about, John, that Democrats are really frustrated.
So Ryan Priebus says all the papers are in, and McConnell says some of them have all their papers in. They clearly don't. Let me just read the letter that the head of the government and ethic, Office of Government Ethics wrote. The Ethics in Government Act. In other words, the law says a requirement establishes a requirement that covered nominees to present presidentially appointed Senate confirmed positions must obtain OGE, Office of Government Ethics, certification of their financial disclosure reports. That this certification must be obtained prior to the hearing is evidenced by the additional requirement that the nominees must make current their financial disclosure reports as to earned income by the date of the hearing. In other words, you would not have to update the report filed prior to the hearing on income earned since you filed the report if the report was able to be filed after the hearing. 3, further evidence is found in their requirement that the OGE director shall forward a copy of this report of each nominee to the congressional hearing nomination. 4, this timing is significant because the need for OGE certification prior to the hearing creates the leverage necessary to compel nominees to disclose their assets fully and resolve all conflicts of interest. So the law is pretty clear here. But here's Mitch McConnell talking BS.
That they lost the election. I was in Senator Schumer's position 8 years ago. I know how it feels when you're coming into a new situation that the other guys won the election. What did we do? We confirmed 7 cabinet appointments the day President Obama was sworn in. We didn't like most of them either, but he won the election. So all of these little procedural complaints are related to their frustration at having not only lost the White House, but having lost the Senate. I understand that, but we need to sort of grow up here and get past that. We need to have the president's national security team in place on day one, and papers are still coming in, and so I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get up to 7 nominees on day one, just like we did 8 years ago.
Should it be a rule that the papers come in and then you have the hearing?
Well, on Hillary Clinton, for example, we had a hearing before her FBI report was completed. The vote on the floor, and we want to have all the records in, that all the papers completed before they're actually confirmed on the Senate floor.
So nothing's slowing down? Slowing down in terms of the confirmation?
No, I don't think
here.
So. I mean, we want to treat, they should want to treat President-elect Trump just like we treated President-elect Obama.
Wouldn't their response be there's a qualitative difference between the Obama nominees and the Trump nominees? You've got people here who have these big private industry successes, but also a lot of complexity.
Well, I could have made that same argument 8 years ago.
But were they as complex?
Well, they were wildly liberal people.
Well, that's ideology, though.
Yeah, but what's the difference? I mean,
well, okay, let's start and work our way back. The difference is that the issue isn't the ideology of these people. The issue is that you have billionaires with huge potential for conflict of interest. And the Office of Government Ethics can't do their job. And to cite that on January 20th, we confirmed seven of Obama's nominees. Well, we still have a couple of weeks before the hearing. But since Mitch McConnell is in such a sentimental mood about when he was on the other side, let's read a piece from Mitch McConnell. When he writes in 2009, the Senate has the constitutional duty to provide its advice and consent on presidential nominations, a duty which we take seriously. Therefore, prior to considering any time agreements on the floor on any nominee, we expect the following standards will be met. FBI background check is complete, submitted to the committee in time for review, and a prior to a hearing being noticed. 2, the Office of Government Ethics letter is complete and submitted to the committee in time for review and prior to a committee hearing. Financial disclosure statements, tax returns for applicable committees are complete and submitted to the committee for review prior to a hearing being noticed. Noticed, not even held, just even scheduled. All committee questionnaires are complete and have been returned to the committee. Unbelievable. Not really unbelievable. Yeah. But
actually deeply believable but and expected.
If I've got this letter, maybe John Dickerson should have that letter. You know? I don't know.
So, yeah, got ya. What do you think about scheduling? Oh, well, you know, we didn't like their nominees either. Woo.
Okay.
Good point, Mr. Incoming Majority Leader.
All right, we're going to take a break, go in the fun half.
OGE couldn't even reach the Trump transition team for at least 10 days after the election.
That's because the phone doesn't ring when you're tweeting.
Yeah, they were calling, emailing. It was unclear. I mean, at least 10 days.
That's Bob Dole's fault.
But define ethics. I mean, if I said Joey No Socks a Fugazi, is that right? Or is that unethical? All right. Bottom line being, we're not going to give you any tax returns. Suck it. We are president now.
I am the captain now. How much time do you think the hearings are going to get on mainstream news? I mean, 45 minutes to talk about Meryl Streep's speech for the next every day.
Yes, that is going to take every, and that's exactly what the Trump people want. I think,
of course.
I think maybe with the Sessions hearing, just because when you can get like a moment of overt racism, that might drive some coverage.
Maybe.
Like when it's as simple as that. But I think Betsy DeVos is going to get zero coverage.
Absolutely.
Pruitt's going to get zero coverage.
Tillerson will get a little bit.
Just the Russia stuff. Not like, do you think U.S. foreign policy should be like a adjacent branch of Exxon?
Right.
We'll get none. If he's even asked. Like, who in the committee is even going to ask him that? Like, your only experience in global affairs is wiring up hydrocarbon. Is this how you think the role of the State Department is? I mean, is anybody going to ask that?
Yeah. Or, I mean, is this the essence of what American security is about?
And you know what he'll say?
And American interests. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It is.
Of course. That and the Boy Scouts.
Yes. He also is a big fan of the Boy Scouts. That's true.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half. Folks, your memberships that make this show possible. Become a member today at majoritythemajorityreport.com. You can gift the show to someone very easily by going to majoritygift.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes. I don't know. Can you go to majorityreview.com? I feel like I have a million.
Really?
That would be a good one, though. Majoritythemajorityreport.com. No, that's not it. I can't remember what it is now. But leave us a review on iTunes. That helps. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. See you in the fun half.
Apple Pay.